This is Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Vayetze, entitled, Are All Marriages Made in Heaven? So we all know the famous Chazal, the rabbis say that, you know, even before people are born, it's already announced in Shemayim exactly who is going to marry who, which is, you could translate into marriages are made in heaven. What's interesting is the Medrash wants to prove it from verses in the Torah, and in the prophets, and also in the ketuvim. I'd like to focus on the first two because they're very, very counterintuitive, to put it mildly. So as far as the proof from the Torah, it doesn't come from this week's Parsha. It comes from previous Parsha when we're talking about Eliezer setting up this test and trying to find a wife for Yitzchak. And everything goes as planned, and he makes his dramatic appeal to Lavan, saying, look, I set up a test that someone would have to come out and give water to me and offer to give water to my cattle, and that's exactly what happened. And so it's, you know, miraculous. Please let me, you know, let's close this deal. I want to take Rivka back to my master and marry her off to Yitzchak. So what's interesting is that the Torah records, it says, Vayad Lavan Betuel Vayomru Mehashem Yatza Adavar. So they actually admit that it came from God. And there, the Medrash says, ah, there's the proof that all marriages are made in heaven. Even Lavan said it. Now, as far as from the prophets, we have the story of Shimshon. Now, we all know the story of Shimshon and Delilah, but this happened earlier, long before he married Delilah. There were other Plishti women, and one of them was someone he was just walking with his parents, and he pointed her out to his parents and said, hey, I want to marry that girl. And they, of course, were taken aback, and they said, what do you mean? You want to marry that girl? Don't you want to marry a Jewish girl? And so the Navi itself clues us in on something that the parents didn't know. It says, they did not realize that it was from God. So here again, from God is the same similar language with Lavan. There's our proof that marriages are made in heaven right from a pasuk. What's interesting is that in Gemara Moed Katan, the exact same proofs are given, but the Talmud goes on to say something interesting. I just want to share with you. It says that the special halacha, if it's chol hamoed, and you are, you know, perhaps you're dating a girl and you feel like you want to, you know, betroth her, you can do it even on chol hamoed. Why? So the Talmud says, because someone else might take her. Someone else might have been davening very hard, and he will get her. Of course, the Talmud answers, wait a second, I thought you said this was announced long before you're even married. Who's going to marry who? It's marriage made in heaven. How could someone else even possibly take her? So Medrash gets a very interesting answer. It says someone could daven very, very hard and change the reality and actually get somebody who ostensibly is not even the right woman for her, because it was not announced for the one praying that this is his match. It was actually the other guy. But, you know, someone could actually change the reality, and so therefore you should hurry up and betroth her, even on Chol HaMoed. Okay, let's get back to our original question. So what's so unusual about the case of Lavan is that he's a patronizing, pathological liar. And, you know, what was Lavan, you see in the story, all he's interested in is the money and the wealth that Eliezer was bringing. And that's really driving his decision. So from such a low life, we're going to find such a pure, beautiful idea that marriage is made in heaven. We also know that in the Agada of Pesach, he's called worse than Paro, because Paro only wanted to destroy the boys, and Lavan actually was contemplating destroying the entire family of Yaakov along with his daughters, along with Lavan's daughters and Lavan's grandchildren. That's how achzari, that's how cruel he was. And so this is the guy we're going to use as a proof. So we have an interesting answer from the Marsha there in the Talmud. The Marsha says that if you look closely at Lavan, he's somebody whose entire life was guided by these trafim. You remember at the end, he was very upset at Rachel because she was sitting on the camel and hiding his trafim, because he actually made all the decisions. He looked through the lens of this avodah zarah, this idol worshiping, and that's how he determined what is true in the world. So when he looked at this situation, and Eliezer's giving him this evidence that he thinks it's from God, that this is destined, that Rivka is destined for Yitzchak, he actually admitted it and said it's from God, even though he didn't even bother with his trafim. It was so clear and true to him, he admitted it, that it's from God. You see actually later on in this week's Parsha, that he actually, when Yaakov came to say goodbye, and he was going to leave and run away, and so it says, Rashi comments on the word that Lavan actually also used his trafim, used his avodah zarah, to determine and admitted to Yaakov that the fact that he even had sons, and of course all his wealth and everything, he gained a lot from Yaakov being there. So he admitted that, but he was looking through his lens of avodah zarah. So you see, it was very important. That's how he always looked at the world. So if in the first case he put that aside and just spontaneously admitted that it's from God, so we can say, okay, it's from God. Now, let me just finish with the second case, Shimshon. Of course, the difficulty is he's marrying a non-Jew. Is that going to be a source for us to say that marriage is made in heaven? Of course not. So what's going on here? So we have, if you look at the Metzudat David on that portion of the story of Shimshon, he explains something very, very interesting. He says Shimshon had a certain military strategy in mind. He did not. He knew that his role in the world, that's what was said about him, his role was really to wreak havoc in the camp of the Plishtim. But he didn't want to do it in a way where it would evoke revenge against the Jews living in the south. He didn't want that if he struck the camp, that they would take revenge and attack those Jews. He wanted it to be seen as like a lone wolf. That's how he wanted to perceive, and that's actually what happened. He was punished, and it did not incite the Plishtim to attack the Jews living in the south. So this was his plan. This was his mission. He knew this was his mission, and so marrying this Plishti girl was just part of his military mission, his whole reason for being, and so therefore that's what he was doing. It's not in any way saying that this is okay to marry a non-Jew, but this was part and parcel of who he was and what he had to accomplish, and God agreed with his strategy, and that's why it was okay for him to do it. And so the question is, what does that have to do with us? Well, I guess you could say that after all, God has a divine mission for each and every one of us. And so who we marry and the kind of home that we set up, the Torah home that we set up, and how we influence our family and all that, that's our mission. So therefore, we can learn from this unusual case of Shimshon, who is fulfilling his mission, we can learn about our mission. Have a great Shabbos.